Patrol is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services. Walker Medical Linen specializes in bed linens, towels, scrubs, and lab coats. Family owned and operated for over 140 years. Find out why hospitals of all sizes, surgery centers, and medical clinics trust Walker Medical Linen. Online at walkermls.com.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you so much for joining us. It is Wednesday, November 30th, 2022. Stephen St. John and Nate Ducati now joined by Matt Beasler. Good morning, Matt. How are you?
What's up, Stephen?
USA! USA! USA!
That's right.
Stephen, Matt was telling me a fantastic story about his daughter Parker's experience watching the World Cup yesterday. I'm wondering, Matt, if you would tell the tell Stephen this story, because I think this is, especially as the father of two proud daughters who are athletes yourself, Stephen, I think you'll get a kick out of this.
Yeah, so daughter came home yesterday from school, and we were just talking, and she was really excited to see me, and apparently at her school yesterday, cure of ours, they got to watch the game in the gymnasium, which is a cool thing. I think the entire school came together and got to watch the game. And she apparently, you know, she came up to me and she goes, "Dad, did you play in the World Cup?" And I go, "Yes, right. I did." And she goes, "Oh. Everybody at my school was coming up to me and asking me if I played, if my dad played in the World Cup. Are you world famous?" And it was, I don't know, it was just it was one of those moments where, you know, I haven't really talked about that stuff with her. You know, she just turned six, she's in kindergarten, and certainly there will be a time for that, but she's slowly just getting into sports, and so it's never really came up. But I don't know, it was a fun moment, and it was also, I wasn't prepared to get into that yesterday afternoon, but it was all good.
Aww. Why don't you go to her school in your uniform?
I should.
Do you still have it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It still fits, too.
I was going to say, I think you can still fit in it.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Steven, you want to come with me?
Yeah, was it necessary for Nate to say that, "Hey, I think you can still fit in it"?
Yeah. Matt looks very fit.
Did he need to weigh in on that? Okay, so
confirming it for you,
Matt. I don't know if you've seen this. What do you think of this picture that's been floating around the internet of Nate flexing on stage yesterday?
I have not seen that.
Show it to him. What? I'm shocked that you haven't shown this to him, or you didn't text him. He's making it his profile pic. He's sending it all over social media. People are commenting on it.
He's putting it on the Christmas card.
Okay.
Oh, that's going on the Christmas card next
year.
It's
already
sure.
No, it's already filtered and edited in this picture. Nate, that's pretty
there's
good.
There's been so many things done to that picture.
Zero doctoring on my part. Zero. I was accused of photoshopping the arm's end by Curtis Siebold, which I found to be an outrageous accusation.
A lot of people have compared this because his right arm is much bigger than the left arm.
That's none of your business. Don't worry about
it. The episode of Family Guy when Quagmire walks out of his house with the big right arm. So, after he discovers
everybody.
The internet.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I'm gonna go back to the basement now.
Right, so.
Hey. We don't need to really discuss that anymore, do we?
Marco, do you want to play this this clip from Clint Dempsey? Is that why you sent that to me? Let's play it. Can we play it?
In about 2 seconds.
Okay. Well, one, two. And so I want to – well, Marco said this to me. We'll get your reaction to this and talk about the match. And so here, you guys tell me what you think of Clint Dempsey's comments yesterday. Marco, play it.
And maybe made it. He had that clearance that got behind, but Shaq Moore, I saw him put his hand up more times saying "my bad" than actual passes he completed. Haji Wright wasn't really pressing enough for me and getting on the ball. He had an opportunity late in the game, looked like he hit it with his heel. You got to be more dangerous if you're going to be in the game. If you're Jesus Ferreira, you're probably thinking, what do I got to do to get in this team?
Well, he may have that opportunity Saturday against the Netherlands. You see, Iran.
So he didn't sound happy, and people are saying that the U.S. got away with a couple of bad substitutions and almost gave this one away. Do you agree?
I was not impressed with the subs either. I would agree with Clint Dempsey. I'm glad that he said something about it. But it's a hard game to come into as a sub, and so you know you don't always get it right. But I think he's accurate with those statements, especially when you're making subs across the back line in a game where you are clearly under pressure, especially towards the end of the game. It's tough to come in and get up to speed right away, and I think. You know, Zimmerman came in and excelled in the air. He won so many headers, which was great. But like Clint said, I think Shaq Moore on the right, you know, struggled to get up to speed. And then Haji Wright came in and actually looked like he was gassed, and which was interesting to me because he came in, he was supposed to have fresh legs. And I don't know if he couldn't catch his second wind. You know, sometimes that happens when you come in as a sub. And you just, you know, you're told, you know, you got 15 minutes. You've got to run. And, you know, after 5 minutes, you just can't catch up and can't catch that second win. So maybe that's what happened.
Nate?
I thought the Zimmerman sub was great, like you said, Matt. I mean, Iran didn't really show many opportunities or abilities to break the United States down by passing it or dribbling it into the penalty area. So they had resorted to just lumping balls into the penalty area. And like you said yesterday going into it, sometimes that can work because the ball takes a weird bounce, falls to somebody, and it happened a few times where like, boy, that was close. That could have easily fallen to an Iranian player.
What was the reaction like at Power and Light when the Iran served that ball in and it went through Matt Turner's legs? And it was trickling towards goal. Because I was watching the game. At that point, I was watching the game at my house by myself, or at a friend's house by my, you know, ourselves. And, you know, I stood up and wanted to scream, but I can't imagine what it was like.
It was like the entire air got sucked out of the Power and Light District for about 3 seconds because everybody was just so nervous. And then when it got cleared off the line, everybody just started screaming, you know, because it felt like that might have been the moment if it was going to happen. For Iran, that was going to be it. So, yeah, that was an incredibly nervy moment. But I thought Zimmerman was great because he won every header that came within 10 yards of him, and that's what you needed at that point in time. But the other guys, yeah, like Haji Wright, I've seen nothing from him in 3 games. I just haven't seen him do anything. And I thought in that situation, what you need is somebody that can hold the ball. Like, when, you know, because, yeah, like, the United States was under pressure the entire second half. Iran was throwing everything they had forward. And so when all your guys are back defending, he's the one guy up the field. And when they lumped it up to him, just see if you can hold on to it for a second and lay a pass off to one of your teammates so you can relieve some pressure and hold on to the ball for a minute and give your guys a rest. And I don't feel like he did a very good job of that. I just haven't seen anything from him. Shaq Moore looked, yeah, like he was a little shaky as well. But I want to say this because the other thing, the other guy that everybody's obviously talking about that's not getting any playing time is Gio Reyna. And the U.S. fans love him, and I'm seeing everybody griping because he's not playing. There was a video clip that got sent out last night of, it was supposed to be this happy video of Christian Pulisic from the hospital, and he is just on fire. He's excited, and he's hugging all the players as they come walking in, and everybody at the team hotel is going crazy. And then there's Gio Reyna, the one guy that doesn't have a smile on his face. He comes walking in. He kind of looked like he was sulking a little bit because he didn't even play in the game yesterday. What do you make of all that?
I'm not going to go there.
Okay.
I can't because I get what you're saying. I've seen the video too. The video clip is so short that to draw that conclusion I think is unfair to Gio. You know, certainly... Yeah. If there's more context and there's something more that I can see, and you know, I see Gio the entire celebration sulking, it's an issue. But to draw that conclusion, you never know what's going on. Like maybe he was, you know, cheering and smiling the whole time, but for 3 seconds he almost tripped and now had a bad, you know, look on his face. And so I don't know. I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to draw that conclusion. I, I do think it's interesting, and it's unfortunate if that's the case. But from that video, the two-second clip, who knows?
Okay, so the bigger issue, though, is all these people that are, why isn't he playing? Why isn't he playing? Now, look, if they were losing or they needed a goal in that game, he would have been one of the subs to come on for sure. He was in the first two games, right? But in this game, they were trying to close out and protect a one-goal lead. So that's why he didn't play.
I mean, assuming he's healthy, I don't know.
Right. He says he's healthy.
He says he's healthy, yeah. But that we talked about this too. Like, as a player, you're not going to come out and say, oh, yeah, I'm not feeling great. What? You're at the World Cup. Of course, when you're asked, hey, how you feeling? You're going to say, yeah, I'm ready to go. I don't know. To me, there's got to be something going on, whether it's physically or tactically, there's something that's just off, because the fact that he's not playing more is it's just weird to me.
See,
but that's
who should he go in for? Like, who should he be playing over? That's the part, because I'm actually not as big of a, like, I disagree with all these American fans that are screaming that that it's just lunacy that he shouldn't be playing. Who would you take out?
With what I've seen from Gio, nobody. You're right. When Gio Reyna's at his best, I think he starts, probably over Tim Weah. But right now, Gio Reyna is not at his best. That is clear. There's something that's going on, and there's something that's off. Tim Weah on the right has been one of our best performers. So, Nate, I agree with you, and I think you're right. In this team at this very moment, I don't know if Gio Reyna deserves to be on the field as much as people are talking like he is.
I mean, Christian Pulisic had the assist on the goal in the first game against Wales. He scores the goal in this game. Weah had the goal against Wales. He should have had a second goal. It baffles me that was ruled offside, but it was. But that was an incredible finish by him. I thought he was the most dangerous of the three attackers in the first half of the game. People are acting like Tim Weah's chopped liver. I think he's. I like him a lot. I understand that there's no clear-cut number nine. And so I hear a lot of people say, well, just put Tim Weah at the number nine, and then you can put Gio Reyna on the field. But I don't think it's that simple, personally, because I think if Weah moves to that position, he loses a lot of what makes him special there. There's a reason he doesn't play there for club or country hardly ever.
Let me ask you this. So what do you do? What do you do at this point in the World Cup if you're Berhalter or if you're Gio Reyna? Right, like, clearly this story is getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and you could argue it's becoming a distraction. Does Gio come out and just say, hey, look, I'm holding my own press conference. I'm no longer going to be answering questions about my playing time. Let's focus on the team. I'm here to help the team. Of course I want to play. I don't know. Is it worth doing that at this point? What do you think?
I think that welcome to the big stage, America. You know, welcome to, when you play for Mexico, the fans gripe about something. When you play for Argentina, the fans are you know, beside themselves if everything doesn't go perfect. And this is part of getting on this stage. People are going to gripe. You know, people are going to have problems even when you win with what you're doing. I just think that Berhalter and Reyna, I hope that they can get on the same page. Because here's the way I look at it, too. This dude is 20 years old. He's 20. And he's getting playing time at the World Cup. And we're acting like he's got, like, it's just outrageous that he's not, like, starting and playing all these games. And to me, I think that's actually, like, the best news ever is that we got a 20-year-old who's playing at a big club in Germany who is a very promising player whose best soccer should be ahead of him. You know, and he's getting some experience with this team, and his story could still be written in this World Cup. Like, that's the only concern I have is, you know, when you look at these other teams, like when we watch England, they're bringing players like Phil Foden and Jack Grealish, who are great players, off the bench because they have so much talent. And it's like we're acting like that's a problem, that we got this great talent that can come off the bench late in a game when you need a goal and can help the team. I mean, Brendan Aaronson, I'm a bigger fan of Brendan Aaronson right now than I am of Gio Reyna personally.
Tell it to him, Nate.
I mean, Gio Reyna, dribbles people and makes people look silly because he's such a great dribbler. And that's awesome. I love that. But that's a small part of the game of soccer. Vision, passing, combining with your teammates, all those other things are more important, honestly. And I don't know where Reyna fits with all these guys yet. And I just feel like I'm tired of people griping about this when we don't know the full context of whether or not he's healthy, how he's fitting in with the team. I really hope, like you said, that there's more context to that video, because it happens all the time where we make a big we react to 3 seconds of a video without having the full context of it. That happens all the time. So I hope it's not him being, because dude, you're at the World Cup. You're 20 years old at the World Cup with your national team, and you might have a chance against the Netherlands when the team needs a goal to go make your mark. We need you to stay locked in and support the team, and we can't have somebody dragging the team down emotionally because he's mad that he's not getting as much playing time, right? Like, they've got to keep – I hope the whole team can keep him involved, because he is a wildly talented player. Just because he's not playing a ton right now doesn't mean that he can't still make a big mark in this World Cup. That's how I feel.
They should have Nate talk to him, Matt. What do you think?
I mean, Nate's got me going right now. He's fired
up.
Am
I wrong about any of this? You tell me.
Oh, I agree with you. It's a great perspective to have. And hopefully everybody in that camp has that perspective right now.
So if you're I don't know, if you're Tyler Adams, you're the captain, and you perceive that that's going on, do you pull him aside and talk to him?
100%. 100%.
And he's the kind of captain that will do that, right? I feel that way.
You don't have time to let things like that, you know, just fester. Like, you have got to nip those as quickly as you can, especially in a tournament like this. The next game's in 4 days. So if there's something going on and it's a distraction, you have to eliminate that immediately.
So how do you handle it? What do you tell them? You've been a captain before. How does a captain go about that without upsetting the apple cart even more?
Well, they're the ones that have a feel for what the camp is like, you know? Like, if it's not an issue, then you don't make it an issue and you don't even bring it up. Only them know really what's going on. Like, they could be, you know, Gio could be in the best mood possible and we just don't even know it. And it just appears, like, they could be sitting at breakfast this morning and they're all sitting at a table and they're looking at this video and they're making fun of Gio. And Gio, look at you. Look at all these comments. Everybody's making fun of you and they're all laughing about it. And it's not even a big deal.
You got this guy like Nate Buchady back in the U.S. making mountains out of molehills.
Well, it's not me. Honestly, it's not me. Like, I get on Twitter yesterday and it's the video, you know, I'm excited. I'm like, oh, look at this video. Pulisic's so happy. I mean, look at how happy he is, and his teammates are so happy. And then the reason I saw the video was because some U.S. soccer fan, you know, posts on there, look at how mad Reyna is. And then all the comments are like, well, I don't blame him. He's getting less playing time than Shaq Moore and all these other players that they don't think are as good as him. I'd be mad too. And I'm like, well, then you're a terrible team player. You know, like, it's okay to be mad inside. In my opinion, it's okay to be mad inside that you're not getting the playing time you want right now. But you're part of a team. You know, you're part of a national team that's playing in the World Cup right now. You can't, when the team just won a massive game against Iran, you can't. I don't know that he's doing that or not. I'm just saying, like, these people that are like, I'd be mad too if I was Reyna. Get out of here.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. It's. I don't see it really being an issue internally.
Good.
I really don't. And if it is, I trust the leadership of the team to have that conversation. And, you know, look, all of this is a learning experience. There's one person on this team that has played in a World Cup before.
Right.
And so this is the first time that the spotlight has been this big. And to your point, this is the first time that a lot of American fans are getting to experience this. It's, oh, we are reading into everything, every little tweet, every comment, every play. We are breaking it down. We're dissecting it. Well, the players are going through this as well for the first time. So it is a learning experience too. So,
and he's 20.
Gio, and the person that he is and his ambition, he probably sees that. And it's a moment for him to be like, oh, wow. I've got to be careful. You know? Whether or not I feel crappy that I'm not playing or I am mad or I'm actually happy, like, I've got to make sure this doesn't happen ever again. And it's a learning experience for him. I think that's the case, and yeah. I don't think it's a big deal.
Yeah, he's 20 years old. He'd be an underclassman if he was in college right now.
Yeah.
You know, and that's so I just and I think like I'm so glad that the United States is at a place where a kid that talented, that's already that accomplished, has a tough time getting on the field because there's other young guys just as talented.
Yeah.
Because in the past, it's like we've had two or three guys like that, maybe. You know, it's like, it was all about Pulisic, you know, about 3 or 4 years ago as the one young guy that we're hoping can go do these things. And now it's like, there's a whole slew of them and there's going to be more coming. And I think that's a great thing. That's a part for me. It's like, I can't believe, I guess I should believe it because it's the internet, but this team just went undefeated in the group stage.
Yeah.
They got through it and we're griping.
Yeah.
You know,
so let me ask you this. So did this game remind you of the Wales game at all?
I was thinking about that, and I wanted to ask you this. Yes.
Because to me, it was yes. the exact same game, essentially, other than the fact that in the Wales game, we made a mistake at the end and gave up a goal and tied.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And Gareth Bale, if Iran has a player like Gareth Bale, he can trick one of our defenders in the penalty area and get a mistake like that, too. Yeah. I was absolutely thinking that. Does it have to be this hard? Like when you get a lot of people are asking this question that are not watching a ton of soccer. Like, why did we look like by far the better team the entire first half? Like, we could just dominate these guys. Then we get the goal, and all of a sudden, we're under pressure the entire second half. Does it have to be that way?
I think that just shows that we, as a country and as a team, we still have a ways to go. We still have another level that we need to get to if we want to truly win World Cups. Now, I'm not saying we can't go and win this World Cup. We're in the knockout round. Anything can happen. But to consistently, you know, be a big-time player in World Cups, we've got to reach another level where games like this, you see the best teams in the world, they win these games 3-0, right? England just beat Wales 3-0. Mm-hmm. You know, in Argentina or Brazil, they play like that in the first half, and they go out in the second half, and they find that second goal or third goal. Like, that is the difference. And I think that's probably what we are missing, and we are in that second tier right now of contenders because we are not ruthless enough, and we do not put teams away. And a lot of that comes down to being more clinical and being more dangerous. You know, I still think that is going to, you know, that's ultimately what is going to end up hurting us is that I don't see us going into some of these games and being like, wow, we are going to lay it on this team and drop 3 or 4 on this team. We just don't have it in us. Now, I could be wrong and we could continue to win these games 1-0 or tie 0-0 and win in a shootout. And that would be incredible. What a story. But I really think, you know, I don't know, going into these knockout round games, you know, you look at the Argentina, Brazil, Spain, you know, whoever else I'm missing out of there, France, just the mm-hmm. firepower that these teams mm-hmm. have, we're not quite there yet.
Matt, you ever have a pelvic contusion?
I was trying to figure out what was going on. Like, I mean, I've had we used to call them hip pointers, right? But that's on like the outside of your hip. Right. Well, that stuff used to happen all the time. And those are, you know, painful, but you can certainly kind of get through that and sort of run it off. I was, you know, abdominal, pelvic contusion, you know, I don't know.
Let's call it what it is. He bruised a ball.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
Yeah.
You ever do that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
What's the treatment? Just ice it down? What do you do?
Oh, it's one of those that just, it feels like they're just sitting up there in your stomach.
Yeah.
You know? And you...
It's like taking a low blow in boxing, right, Steven? Is that...
But here's the thing. There's nothing you can do.
Right.
Right? Like, most people have been there. You get hit, and you just kind of crumble down into the fetal position, and you just say, I need a moment. And sometimes, you know, you need a few moments to just get back. And yeah, Not a great place to be.
So you think he'll be good for Saturday?
If he says he's good, then I believe him. And he said he's good.
He said he'll be ready. Here's something I wanted to ask you about as we get ready for this game. So this game's a 9 a.m. kickoff this time around, which means it'll be, I think they're 7 hours ahead of us. So 4 o'clock in the afternoon-ish over there. Give or take, my time conversion's not great. But middle of the day, afternoon, it will be hotter than these late games they've been playing. I feel like that could be an advantage for a young American team. This was the youngest roster in the history of American World Cup soccer. And Berhalter's been saying the youth is going to help us. Now that they've both played 3 games, the Netherlands, a team that's used to playing in the cool climate in Europe and all that stuff, can that be an advantage for the U.S. going into this game on Saturday?
I like where your head's at. Of course it can be an advantage. And that is certainly the one of the messages that I would be shouting if I was the coach. You know, you've got to set things up. You can tell the story, whatever story you want to tell, mm-hmm. right? And that's one of the things that I would be talking about is this afternoon game and the sun's going to be out. I guarantee the Americans are probably more used to playing out, you know, in the sun, humidity than people in Europe. I do. I like our chances. I think they're beatable. How are you feeling about it?
Same way. And I actually think we might see the best of the U.S. Offensively now that we're in the knockout rounds, because I think we saw a glimpse of it against England. The United States are better in a game where their opponent wants to come out and play. I think we saw it. And that's one of the things, too, to just go back to why it baffles me, the criticism. Greg Berhalter has just received, it seems like, nothing but criticism, even though he qualified this team for the World Cup. They've beaten Mexico twice, their arch rival, in massive games for trophies here recently. And now they're already through, you know, they're undefeated so far in this World Cup. In those Mexico games, the United States actually scored. You know, they came out, and those games were open, and they were ready to play. So, like, I think that when the game's more wide open and the other team isn't bunkered in as much, that speed and athleticism of the United States comes into play more. I don't want to get too carried away. I think they're going to get the attention of the world with this game and the way they play. And I don't know that that means they're going to win. I think they already got the attention of the world a little bit with the way they played against England. But I still think the narrative by a lot of people was, boy, England played negative and they were kind of too cautious in that game. And it was a lot on how disappointing England's performance was, where I think the truth is England found out that the United States can play. And like you heard the way the players from England talked, well, these guys, they're no joke. That midfield of the United States is as good as just about any midfield in the world right now, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And I think in the Netherlands are going to find that out too. But the Netherlands are really good, so I think it's going to be a good game.
It is. I think it's going to be a good game. One thing with the Netherlands, you know, in my opinion, it's they seem to be very inconsistent. You know, I think traditionally as well.
Yeah,
you know, that's kind of their storyline.
Didn't qualify for the last World Cup.
Which Netherlands team is going to show up? You know, at times, even in this tournament, they have looked like one of the best teams in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And then at other times, they look like they've never played a game of soccer before. Like, they are the two extremes, and there doesn't seem to be much in between. And so, very curious to see which Netherlands team shows up. You know, if the team shows up that looks like they are one of the World Cup contenders, I think that, you know, we could be in trouble, and it's going to be a very difficult game. But if the other team shows up, absolutely, I am confident that we can not only play with them, we can beat them. This Netherlands team is beatable, especially if the U.S. comes out and plays one of their better games.
So I agree, and I think this young American team is up for it. You know, I don't think they're going to be intimidated. They already showed they're not going to be intimidated by England. If they're not intimidated by England, England has a better team than the Netherlands right now, as I look at it, in my opinion. With all the attacking firepower they have and Harry Kane up top and all of that, they have a better team than the Netherlands. But that doesn't mean the Netherlands are a joke. Cody Gakpo is the guy who's scored 3 goals in 3 games for them up top, so he's in really good form right now. And a guy that for our audience, if they don't know these players, they have a defender named Virgil van Dijk that many people think is the best defender in the world. He was runner-up for the World Player of the Year Award, the Ballon d'Or, a couple years ago. And center backs, you know this better than anybody, Matt, they don't usually get that kind of love, right? Usually the player of the year are the guys that score all the goals. And so for a center back to get runner-up for World Player of the Year shows you how great of a player he is. But I watch him. He plays for Liverpool in the English Premier League. He hasn't been as great lately as he's capable of being. Now, maybe he'll be great on Saturday. But they got some world-class players, there's no doubt. I don't know. I'm excited. I think the U.S. is going to boss the midfield in this game.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah. I hope so. I really do. I think it's going to be interesting to see how this game plays out, like you've mentioned. And one thing that I'll add, too, is that, you know, internally, there's a lot of the mental side of kind of what's going on right now. Because Greg Berhalter has even talked about this going into the tournament. He goes, there's two tournaments. The World Cup is essentially two tournaments.
Yeah.
There is the group stage tournament, and if you make it out of that, you get to go play in this second tournament. And so mentally, they're coming off of a high. And so internally, the questions that I would have to ask, like, what is the vibe? Is it, hey, we've accomplished something, job done, we're playing with house money now, you know, rah, rah, this is great? Or is it, hey, we're moving on, you know, we'll applaud ourselves later, everybody on the outside can talk, but we're not finished. We've got to turn the page like that.
Mm-hmm.
And we're here to win more games. So like, and maybe it's somewhere in between, maybe it's that, but that's definitely something that the team has to manage. You have to manage the emotions of accomplishing one of these major goals and feeling great about it. It is an incredible feeling. And it, you know, but you've got to move on immediately because, like we said, the game's in 4 days. You've got to start preparing right now.
I want to remind everybody that also means you. If you want to go down to the Power and Light District to watch this game with us at the these incredible watch parties, download your tickets now. They're moving. I just was told by the folks at Sporting Kansas City the tickets are moving incredibly fast for Saturday morning, as you would expect. They're free. Once again, you go to sportingkc.com or to SeatGeek, and you can download your free ticket. But you have to have a ticket to get in. And I have to underscore this. A ticket does not guarantee admission. When they reach capacity on Saturday morning, they're going to shut the Power and Light District down, and they'll send you to one of the bars that's in the surrounding areas, if as long as those have room in them. But so get there early, because the gates are going to open at 7 o'clock. I know that on Black Friday, when the U.S. played England, when they opened the gates, the line was already down the block to get in. And then it took about an hour, but after about an hour, the place was full and nobody else was allowed in the place. So if you want to go down there, make sure you download your ticket early and then get there early on Saturday. All right, Matt, so what's your official prediction? You want to give an official prediction on this game?
You know, I don't know if I've got if I've nailed one yet.
Yeah.
So hopefully I'm going to go 2-1 U.S. in extra time.
Wow. So it's going to be we're going to be 1-1. It's going to go to extra time, and they're going to get a goal.
Yeah. That's what I'm going with.
All right, Steven, what do you think?
I'll take it. I'll go with Matt.
I love it, Steven. Me and you, let's ride together.
Where are we going?
Maybe Gio Reyna will score that goal. And then everybody will be happy.
Now we're talking.
Maybe not you, after what you drag him through the mud this whole segment.
No, don't say that.
Huh? I don't know.
I think he's still got he's got a part to play in this World Cup still.
Matt, thank you so much for coming to the studio, and hopefully we'll talk about the quarterfinals next week.
Sounds good, guys.
Thank you, my friend.
That is Matt Beazer. We'll be back after this on WHB.
Join Blue Cross and Blue Shield Federal Employee Program and get access to 95% of doctors in the U.S. It's the number one health plan for federal employees. Learn more at fepblue.org/wecan.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Buchanan with Marco Marquez on this Wednesday, November 30th, 2022. Let's check in with Matt Derrick from CheeseDigest.com. Matt, good morning. How are you?
After hearing the lesser known of the Survivor Rocky songs, I am ready to go through a wall today.
Let's go.
Well, all right. Let's get to it and talk about some headlines with the Kansas City Chiefs. They make another addition to the roster. Let's get your thoughts on the Chiefs now adding another defensive lineman, a run-stopping defensive lineman who we saw with the Baltimore Ravens for the past several seasons. Brandon Williams is going to sign, according to many reports. He's going to sign to the practice squad and ultimately make it to the 53-man roster. 33 years old, played 9 years for the Ravens. He played under defensive line coach Joe Cullen for 5 years with the Ravens, made a Pro Bowl in 2018, and is a noted run defender. What's your opinion of the Chiefs signing Brandon Williams?
Yeah, I mean, for all the reasons you just noted, I mean, it makes perfect sense. The fact that he's got some time with Joe Cullen and his defense, so he's going to be able to come in midseason and pick everything up pretty quickly. Run defense is still probably one of the things you would point to and say the Chiefs need some improvement, especially up front. You know, Colin Saunders, I think, has probably been their best run defender this year, outside of even, you know, Chris Jones. So that's a good reinforcement. I mean, it gives them some added depth. You know, hey, let's see how it all works out as far as the pecking order goes and when he gets in there. But, I mean, it makes total sense, and it's one of these late-season moves that we've seen Brett Veach make before, so it makes perfect sense to me.
How much credit should we be giving to Joe Cullen for the improved play of the defensive line?
I mean, if you listen to some guys like Chris Jones, you know, when I asked him that Sunday night, he says 1,000%. Those guys absolutely love Joe Cullen. And, you know, some of it is certainly the style that he likes to coach. I mean, he encourages them to get upfield. They do things, and, you know, even watching drills, they do things a little bit differently. He's, I think, really has been part of helping, like, Colin Saunders develop into a brand new player. But you ask anybody, I mean, George Karloftis, Frank Clark, go on down the line. Everybody sings this guy's praises, and I mean, it's hard to find anybody who doesn't like Joe Cullen on that Chiefs defensive line. I think he's been a big key to everything that defensive front has done this year.
Nate Buchanan,
and how quickly do you think we'll see this new addition actually get on the field for the Chiefs? Because I know he's right now just going to be on the practice squad.
Yeah, I mean, it could be relatively quickly. We'll see. I mean, that's obviously from the practice squad. They can use the elevation to get him up there. Let's see what happens. Could it happen this week? Sure. But and that's what makes it curious. I mean, you know, would you want to bring in a guy who, for a game like this, it's going to be probably your toughest game remaining on the schedule? You know, you want everybody to be on the same page against the Bengals. I mean, is that the easiest game to bring somebody in for, especially against a team that's going to pass a lot and you're a run-first defender? Question mark. But, you know, the Bengals have a strong running game, too, which is why you might consider it. I wouldn't necessarily think it would be this week, but I think it'll be pretty quickly.
Also, the Chiefs added former Raiders wide receiver Bryan Edwards. What about that addition?
That was another one that's intriguing to me. I mean, a little bit different reason. This is a guy who had success in the league. I mean, he really kind of figured things out in Vegas pretty quickly, had a great second season, you know, breakout year, gets traded to the Falcons, which, you know, I mean, for a young player in that spot who seemed like an ascending player, I have some questions about why they would let that guy go. And then the Falcons just released him, doesn't do anything with the Falcons this year. They just walk away from that deal after giving up an asset for him. So I have some questions about why it didn't work out in two different teams, but talent's there. There's no doubt about it. I mean, this is a guy who's produced in the NFL. So another, you know, hey, Chiefs do this, especially this time of year. They'll look about a guy that gets, you know, cut and released from other teams and put on the practice squad, work them out for a couple of weeks, see what they've got. And if it's somebody they think that would be good for a reserve future contract, which is what I think we're talking about here, I don't think with Bryan Edwards you're talking about a guy that would be on the roster. I think this is more about the future.
All right, let's get into this gigantic matchup against the Bengals on Sunday. This is a team that beat the Chiefs twice last year, including the horrible loss the Chiefs had in the AFC Championship game. The Bengals are hot right now. It looks like Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Mixon are going to come back. What do you make of this matchup? You know, the Chiefs, Mahomes, Chris Jones, Nick Bolton, they have not been shy about talking about how this that loss motivated them in the offseason, and they've all taken blame in their own way for that loss. I'm real curious to see how the Chiefs come out in this game, if it continues to be a tough matchup for them. Remember last year they dominated the first half of both games and then fell apart in the second half. But I just can't tell you how excited I am to watch this game on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be one of the more marquee games on the schedule, I mean, the rest of the way. I mean, this, and it's big for both teams. I mean, the Chiefs win this game, and they are the prohibitive favorite to win the AFC and win the Super Bowl. Yeah, they got that Buffalo loss out there, but I don't think Buffalo is playing as well as they were a month or so ago. The Bengals are I think, probably playing their best football right now. They've had some close scrapes, though, which is a lot like the Bengals last year. I mean, that was a team that just kind of got by, and they won some close games. I thought some of those would be regressions this year, but they're showing that they still have that moxie. They can win close games. They just have to make it close. And you're right, to your point, those games weren't close at halftime. I mean, the Chiefs were putting both those games away in the first half. And just the Bengals made some great adjustments. But the one, you know, change that the Chiefs made this year was that they wanted to get bigger, faster, and more physical in the secondary for exactly this reason. I mean, there's a lot of big wide receivers with speed around the league that you have to cover and you have to be able to go up against. But nobody's got more of them than the Bengals do. And this is exactly why you drafted Trent McDuffie and Josh Williams and Jalen Watson, because, you know, they have size or speed or both. So I'm really intrigued to see that matchup. I want to see what happens. To, you know, I mean, Ja'Marr Chase is going to play in this game. I want to see, you know, when Joe Burrow is going to Ja'Marr Chase downfield, I want to see how those guys challenge him, how they go up and match up against, you know, Tyler Boyd, T. Higgins. That, to me, is going to be a big part of the outcome of this game, because the Bengals are going to attack that young secondary, and I want to see how they respond, because this is why the Chiefs drafted them.
And the other big question is, can the Chiefs sack Joe Burrow, right?
Yeah, I mean, if you can hit Joe Burrow, make him uncomfortable, get some turnovers, I mean, that's key. So, and you need to be able to do that, obviously, in the second half, which is what the Chiefs really struggled with last year. So, yeah, I mean, to me, this is big Chris Jones game, big George Karloftis, Frank Clark. I mean, you need those guys to produce this week.
Nate Buchanan.
You know, hitting him is one thing, Matt. What we learned is getting him to the ground is another thing. So we'll see if they can pull that off too. But I want to go back to that secondary, because I think you make a great point, and I think it's a fascinating one to watch. The Chiefs are bigger, stronger, and more physical in the secondary, but those guys are all rookies, right? Like, how is it fair to expect them to go out there and be able to go toe-to-toe? Or is this, do you look at it like, hey, this is a learning experience, and these guys will be that much more ready for the playoffs by having this experience in this game in the regular season against the Bengals?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's completely unfair to expect them to go out there and dominate. I mean, you know that's not going to happen. They're going to get beat. They're going to give up some plays. But, you know, what you're hoping for is that they're going to get some plays, too, that they're going to get some, you know, knockdowns, that they're going to get their hands on some balls, maybe they get some turnovers. That was the struggle last year, was just that, you know, in the second half, the Bengals seemed like that they could just throw the ball downfield with immunity and just not have any setbacks whatsoever, because nobody could defend them. Nobody could stop them. And sometimes it was because they had good coverage, but they just weren't big enough to make a play. I mean, we've seen a lot from these young guys that they can produce, that they can be around the ball. They're not going to get any bigger challenge this week. And they may not succeed, but getting that experience might be huge, because I think there's a reasonable chance they'll see this team again. And, you know, like I said, I mean, you look at those games last year, I mean, I don't know if the Chiefs secondary could have played a whole lot worse than what they played last year. If this group was just able to make one play that they did in a year ago, they win one or both of these games. So I want to see what they can do. I mean, this is the test. It is not the first test, not the last. And it's not going to, I'm not going to say, oh, wait, you know what? These guys can't play because it couldn't stop Cincinnati. They need to see it, and I need to see what they can do. And it's, I think that this is the matchup. I mean, they're, and they'll get better from this, no doubt.
That, I mean, that would be, I mean, it, look, it's not a playoff loss that would end the season, but that would at least be a, I don't even want to say mild, that would be, it would be disappointing if they lose this game. Because it does feel like it wasn't just Cincinnati. I mean, because, you know, because Buffalo in the playoffs, I mean, that secondary looked god-awful, and wide receivers were running wide open without a defender near them. But it feels like they saw, you know, what Cincinnati was able to do to them. And we always hear that, hey, the Chargers, the Broncos, they did this to try to catch up to the Chiefs. They saw how old that secondary looked and how vulnerable they are. And it feels like those two losses were, you know, just like the Tampa Bay loss in the Super Bowl, you know, convinced them, wait, we got to go rebuild our offensive line. Going up against Cincinnati and watching how terrible and old that defensive backfield played, that's one of the major reasons why they made all those moves. And if they lost three in a row to Cincy, but that'd be a tough pill to swallow, especially if you have to go up against them again. You'd like to see them be able to get over that hump this weekend.
And that's the other thing that makes this game different. I mean, it makes the game even from the Bills different because, you know, that Buffalo game, I mean, I think everybody was expecting Buffalo to win because that was the revenge game and they needed it. I mean, that game meant more to the Bills than it did to the Chiefs. This time around, I mean, this is the only game on the schedule that the Chiefs have that means more to them than it does to their opponent. And the Bengals doesn't necessarily, I mean, it means a lot. They need this game. I mean, they need it for playoff standing. They need it for everything. But there's no doubt. I mean, this is the one week where the Chiefs are not the hunted. They don't have the bullseye on their back this week. The Bengals do. The Chiefs are the hunters. And that's the other reason why I think we need to see a big performance because this is the game that this team has circled on the calendar all year long. And if you can't win that one, that's a problem.
Matt, Derek, should be a hell of a game on Sunday. Thanks for talking about it with us.
Always a pleasure, guys. Take care, everybody.
That is Matt Derek from ChiefsDigest.com. Should be one hell of a game on Sunday in Cincinnati. So what's that all about?
Let's go. I'm just excited, man. There's so much going on this weekend. This is a big weekend. I just wanted to get here. Oh, what a game.
It's a 3:25 kickoff on CBS between the Chiefs and the Bengals. Back after this on WHB.
Listen to that music. All right, Kansas City. It is time for my first sportscast ever on my last Tempe newscast of my career. Big Chiefs news. The Chiefs-Broncos game in Denver in week 14 has been flexed out of Sunday night football. I guess the Broncos are so bad that even the superstardom of Patrick Mahomes wasn't enough. The Broncos messed up our Sunday night football appearance. Thank you, Broncos. Anyway, let's talk about the Chiefs. The Bengals, the Chiefs, big game in Cincinnati. Remember the 21-3 score the Chiefs were leading as they were on their way to the Super Bowl and I might have gone to Los Angeles? Remember that? Oh my, well, the keys to this game, the Chiefs defense. 35 sacks. The Chiefs have had 35 sacks. Chris Jones, look at this. Look at Chris Jones. Look at this. He has 10 sacks this year. He is on fire. Chris, you need to get 2 sacks, all right? And the Chiefs will beat the Bengals. All right. Patrick Mahomes, what did he have to say about last year's championship loss?
I mean, it's not a good place. I mean, they beat us. I played terrible in the second half. And we lost at home. That could have sent us to the Super Bowl. So we'll be ready to go this next week for sure.
Patrick, 4 receivers were open. Anyway, that's a whole other story.
I mean, you should retire and go into sports. Okay? That's really good. Well done.
Well, please take over.
Nice job. Right. First sportscast on last 10 p.m. weather. All right.
Wow. Let's welcome to the show Gary Lezak, Hello, Gary.
I didn't do weather. That was fun. Enjoy that?
Sure, did you?
Yeah. My first sports guest I've ever done in my whole career, and that was my last 10 p.m. newscast last night. Now I'm on today and tomorrow, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock news. Tomorrow night at 6 o'clock will be my last show in local television, and it's going to be an interesting couple of days ahead. But that was fun last night. That was fun, and I got to do sports finally, and you know, I hardly ever do weather on this show. What do you think?
Did you cry?
I may. I've been, every once in a while, emotions hit me. But two more days. I got two more days. And the fans out there, the viewers out there, and I'll be thinking of you. I've been getting all kinds of tremendous support and cards and amazing messages. And so, but, you know, I got big things ahead. So I'm, it's not like I'm retiring. I'm going on to make Weather 2020 into a global company and help save lives and help businesses, and that's what I'm going to begin doing Friday. I'll be able to do that, so looking forward to it, but looking forward to my last day as well, so we'll celebrate. So anyway,
but again, to reiterate, you were not going anywhere when it comes to Sports Radio 810 WHB.
That is a fact. I think I'm going to stay on and talk to you guys. I know you guys. Thank you. I know you've expressed that. I think you mean it, so I'm going to do it.
What do you mean you think we mean it? You think Steve, you're calling Steven a liar?
I know you mean it.
What are you laughing at?
You guys are funny.
Funny looking.
Yeah, yeah. So how about that 1-0 game yesterday? How about that?
Oh, man, I'm still excited.
Unbelievable. Did you see Nate flexing on social media?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
What? Everyone else has.
So Nate was flexing on social media, and the Chiefs got flexed out.
Yeah, yeah, they did, didn't they?
I mean, come on. I had plans that Sunday afternoon, and now I canceled my plans because I will not miss the Chiefs game. So there you go. Wow. That's pretty amazing. The Broncos did it. They're that bad.
Impressive.
But remember, anybody can beat anybody else on any given Sunday, Monday, Thursday, or Saturday. We have some Saturday games coming up here soon. But, yeah, it's exciting. I cannot wait for this game with the Cincinnati Bengals. And it's revenge time. And so I think the Chiefs will be focused. Jamar Chase should be back. And we need to get to Burrow and beat those guys. So, big game ahead. You want me to do the weather?
Yeah. Yes. Kind of interesting if you would. Sure.
Good morning, everybody. It is cold outside, 21 degrees right now. Expect a high today above freezing, back up to 37 tomorrow, right up to close to 50. And then 60 on Friday, right? 60 degrees on Friday. And that's exciting. Another cold front Saturday, no major storms. Our snowflake contest continues, so we need 1 inch of snow to end our snowflake contest. But it's not going to end before I retire. So there you go.
You don't care about that damn snowflake contest anymore. That ain't your problem. That's someone else's problem. The hell with that problem.
A lot of things are not going to be my problem here soon.
Exactly right.
Oh, we'll talk about that.
Can we still get you to knock on people's doors and scream and all that stuff like we've done in the past?
I don't even know if Marco knows about that.
I don't know if Marco has that clip. We haven't played that in a long time.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on.
And Marco's like, what? What is that? Yeah. It's called the Snowflake Contest Scream, Marco.
There we go.
Have you randomly go up to people's houses, and even if they didn't,
it wasn't random. You know,
must start using that whenever you go over.
Yep.
Uh oh, that means I'm done.
Oh, so every day?
Yeah.
Thanks, Gary.
Oh, thank you. Have a good day. 22 degrees right now.
That is Gary Lezak on Sports Radio 810 WHB.